Well, good afternoon. It is about 32 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock. You're listening to KFSK Petersburg. This is Hannah Flohr, your host for Borough Business. That's our call-in show with borough officials. And I have two borough officials here with me in Studio One at KFSK. I've got Borough Clerk Debbie Thompson. Hello.
Hello.
And Deputy Borough Clerk Becky Regula.
Hello.
Thanks for being here, both of you. And I have you in here because we have quite a light agenda for the Borough Assembly meeting tonight. But one of the items on the agenda is the approval of election officials. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how this local municipal election goes, because I want to know more about why these 12 people are going to be election officials, how they got chose, what the process is for getting them trained, like everything about how this local election works. So let's start at the beginning. How do people become election officials?
Well, basically they put their name in the hat to to act as an election official for the borough. So it's a volunteer basis, although we do pay anyone who would like to be paid.
Okay. And have you heard from folks about what motivates them to become an election official?
Well, I guess a few times. I think part of it is wanting to learn how the process works. I also think part of it is just doing community service, you know, giving back to your community.
And do you have people who do it over and over? Once you become one, do you stay, or do you have to put your name in every time?
Well, we put you on a list and we contact you and ask you if you are available to be an election official this year. And then we put out the word for anybody else who might want to also join the crew. Believe me, people aren't knocking down our door. We don't have more than we need.
So once you do it, if you do it once, be forewarned that you might get bugged forever after.
You bet.
And do you need exactly 12? I know 12 is the number you've got on the list this time.
Well, we could use a couple more. We will be fine with 12. Ideally, we would have 4 election officials on for each shift, and our shifts are 3-hour shifts.
Okay.
But Becky and I are also there. And so sometimes if we have 4 election officials on each shift, we may have somebody with not a lot to do while they're there.
Gotcha.
So we sort of kind of try to pick and choose. We know the busy times. We know the times if there's any write-in candidates where we need to start hand-counting the write-in votes, things like that. Mm. And we try to make sure we have enough election officials in those slots.
So write-in candidates creates more work for you guys.
It does. Write-in candidates must be hand-counted, yes.
Okay. And that brings me to a question. I know that on the national and statewide elections, you use electronic as well as paper ballots. You have the paper ballot backup. Is that the case for the local elections too?
It is. It's not the same as the state's electronic process, but we do still call it electronic voting because basically it's via email or fax machine, although no one uses a fax machine anymore.
That's true. No one does.
No.
So tell me about the training for these election officials. What kind of training do they get?
Well, we take a lot of what the state of Alaska trains their election officials, and we basically discuss it with our election officials, especially if they're brand new. You know, this is how you, when someone comes to your table, if you're a registrar, you know, you ask for their ID, even if you know who they are, so that you're treating everyone the same. If they don't have it and you personally know them, that's fine. They can vote. But first thing you do is you ask for their ID. You find them on the register, highlight their name, turn it around, have them sign. If they're not on the register, you call for help. So that would either probably be Becky or I. And everyone is allowed to vote whether you're on the register or not. You would just instead vote a question ballot.
Mm. What happens to those question ballots?
So the question ballots are held until the certification of the election. And as soon as the polls close on election day, the very next morning, I email the state of Alaska. I say, I have these question ballots. They look through their records. And if that candidate or that voter, excuse me, has put in their application before the deadline and just for some reason didn't make our voters list, they let me know whether it's valid to count or whether it's not valid to count.
So even though you register for a local election, the state of Alaska has all of that information?
Yes. So all of our voter information comes through the state of Alaska.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then Are you looking for anything specific with the people who become election officials? Are you looking for political diversity? Are you looking for any kind of experience? How do you judge whether or not they should be approved as election officials? Oh. I guess it's not you, it's the assembly.
Well, so we do have code that says, let's see, that the assembly shall appoint from the qualified voters of the borough a sufficient number of judges for the election for each voting precinct. Each election official takes an oath before the election, an oath to honestly, faithfully, and promptly performing the duties of the office that they're holding. The duties and power of election judges, it just says the judges of the election shall constitute the election board and shall have charge of the election. Each judge shall have the power to administer oaths relating to the qualifications of voters, blah, blah, blah. But basically, there isn't like a test. You don't take a test. If you want to be an election official, we are going to put you in a position to do something for us on election day.
Okay.
And we're there too. So if there's any questions that, or anything that arises, we're there to make sure everything's good.
So somebody worried about funny business can be assured that there are, you know, if there are 12 this year, there are 11 other people who might be keeping that funny business at bay.
Absolutely. And I have to be honest, all of my years in working elections for Petersburg, I have not seen anybody that wants any funny business going on. Everybody wants to make sure our elections are open and as they should be.
Okay. And so speaking about that, what's the process? Can you walk me through the step-by-step of ensuring that the results are legitimate and fair?
Sure. Okay. So it is quite a process. So it all starts by the ballot being prepared. Okay, so we wait, we have all of our candidates have filed, the deadline has come to remove your name. So we put all of that together, and then any propositions that may have been brought forward during the whole process, we basically create a draft ballot, and we send our ballot to a programmer who programs these tiny little very cool cards based upon our ballot that go into our image cast tabulator. And the image cast tabulator is basically a counter. It's like maybe the ATM at the bank. It's a counter. All it's doing is reading ballots.
It's just reading those little colored in dots every time you put your ballot in.
That's correct. That is what it's reading is those dots. Yes. So so we send our little tabulator cards off to the programmer along with our prepared ballot. They program the cards. They send our programmed ballot to our ballot printer. They send the cards back to us. We now own two tabulator machines. We used to own only one. We now own two. We are using one exclusively for absentee and early voting. And then the second one will be used exclusively for in-person voting on election day.
What's the benefit of separating those two?
The benefit is it's easier to keep track, number one, of how many absentee voters we've had and how many mail-out ballots have been returned, that kind of thing, and then election day, people walking in. We used to have to keep all kinds of lists and try to do all the balancing. This way, this tabulator is going to balance for us. It's amazing how quickly it comes up with those numbers. Once we get those cards back, we have two sets of cards since we have two tabulators. Becky and I test. First of all, our ballot printer prints us test ballots. So Becky and I take those cards. All we've done so far is the absentee and early voting tabulator. So we take those cards and we plug them into the machine, and we vote ballots just every which way. And we run them through the machine, and we verify that the votes that we cast are actually what the machine tells us is there. Mm-hmm. It'll tell us if there are ambiguous marks, which could be, for instance, instead of the filled-in oval, it could be a great big X, it can be a check mark, it can be just a tiny little dot that's not really filling in the oval. It'll tell us when that happens, and it gives the voter an opportunity to re-vote that ballot if they want to take it, spoil the one they have, and properly mark it.
Gotcha.
It'll stop it before it even sucks it all the way in. It also gives the voter the option to just go ahead and cast the ballot. I don't want to go do it again. Cast the ballot. It pushes cast, and then it goes through the reader. I can't guarantee that the ambiguous marks are going to be read by the ballot reader. It depends on how much of that circle that it's filling in, right?
Okay.
So, but that is up to the voter when they cast the ballot.
Interesting. So I know you're talking about these tabulator machines. Is there any risk of those being hackable? Can
No, it's not plugged into any, it's not online.
Okay, good to know.
It's just plugged into a power source.
Okay, and then you have the paper ballots. Are you counting all of those paper ballots afterward and comparing them to the tabulator machine, or are they just there in case there's requested recount?
Correct. No, we do not automatically count all the paper ballots and compare them. But the ballots, the paper ballots themselves, are kept until the certification of the election in case there is a contest of the election. Although to contest an election, it's very limited reasons to be able to contest an election. You can't just say, I want you to recount, I want you to hand count and make sure that these numbers are right. There has to be reasons, and I brought that too. So, code says that any candidate or any 10 or more qualified voters may contest the election of any person and the approval or rejection of any question or proposition upon one or more of the following grounds. One, misconduct, fraud, or corruption of an election judge sufficient to change the results of the election. And two, disqualification of the person elected under provisions of law or ordinance, or existence of a corrupt election practice as defined by the laws of the state of Alaska.
Okay, so that means that either a group of 10 people, registered voters, or a candidate can request a recount if, and I've already forgotten them, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, yes.
Let's put them in plain language, though, because that was code language.
Yes.
If there were some shenanigans going on with election officials.
Yes.
If there was some sort of bad behavior by one of the candidates, which I suspect is more specific than just bad behavior.
Correct.
And if, what was the final one?
if there is existence of a corrupt election practice as defined by the laws of the state of Alaska.
And Debbie has a 2-inch thick book of what is probably the laws of Alaska.
This is only a couple. This is Title 13 through 15, and Title 15 has to do with elections.
Goodness.
So, election official misconduct in the first degree is defined as: a person commits the crime of election official misconduct in the first degree if, while an election official, the person, 1, intentionally fails to perform an election duty or knowingly does an unauthorized act with the intent to affect an election or its results, 2, knowingly permits or makes or attempts to make a false count of election returns, or 3, intentionally conceals, withholds, destroys, or attempts to conceal, withhold, or destroy election returns.
Has any of that ever happened here in Petersburg?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. All right. I think I pulled us off track a little bit. So the first thing that you do is you make those little ballots. You and Becky test them.
Yes.
What happens after you two test them?
Okay. So once we've tested the ballots and we verify that everything balances as it should, we affix seals to the slots that those little tabulator cards go into. There's 2 cards per tabulator.
Mm-hmm.
And so we affix a seal. We write down that seal number. And so every morning and every afternoon, absentee voting starts at 11 a.m. and ends at 3 p.m. We verify that those seal numbers are the same, have not changed. And then also at the tabulator, when it's not in use, if it's not 11 to 3, it is. We haul it back upstairs and we lock it in a secure file room until the next day. And when we do that, at the end of the day, we note how many ballots have been run through the tabulator. We write that down. We all sign it. In the morning, before we start again, when we open the polls, we verify that that number of ballots has not changed and that the seals have not changed.
Okay.
And then, let's see. So the number of ballots issued, verified, or balanced at the end of each day, in-person early voting, by mail absentee early voting, and electronic absentee early voting. So all of that, those ways to vote right now are all being balanced at the end of every day. The number of the ballots run through the tabulator, verified at the end of each day and the beginning of the next day, and the results of the absentee early voting will be printed at the close of the polls on election day. So basically, absentee voting ends at noon the day before the election. We will lock up that box and that machine in our secure file room during the election on election day. Becky and another one of our employees will go to the borough offices, bring the whole unit to the polling place, to the activity room in Parks and Recreation, so that at the close of polls, we will be tabulating two machines.
Okay, so you don't tabulate those early voting numbers, absentee vote numbers beforehand. You do it all at the same time at the close of polls on Tuesday, October 1st.
That's true. And the reason we're going to do that, is that it is possible during the day on election day for by mail ballots to come in. And so then the staff at the municipal building will let us know we want to get those. We want to run those through the machine. It's less we have to hand count later. Mm-hmm. Same thing could happen. Someone, rather than mailing them back, could walk in and say, hey, I asked for these by mail. Here's my ballots. Well, we want to run them through the right machine. We don't want to run them through the in-person election day machine.
Gotcha. Okay. What's the difference between, in terms of numbers, how many people vote early voting versus on election day? Do you have a sense of that?
Well, there's quite a bit more that come in person on election day.
Okay.
I think that last year
we had a 300 early.
That's what I think too. Every single year we get more and more early and absentee voters.
Interesting.
So I'm thinking it's going to be around 300 again this year, maybe okay. A little more.
And then how many people vote total usually? Do you have a good average number?
I'm trying to remember what the number was last year. I think it was 1,200 something.
Oh, okay.
Like 1,250, close to that.
So maybe a quarter of the population votes early.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any rules that folks should know about? You know, I was talking to somebody who was working on the primaries in the end of August, and they were talking about the requirement that there can be no campaign stickers or sweatshirts, that sort of thing, within a certain distance of the polls. Are there any rules with the local municipal election like that?
Same rules as with the state of Alaska. No campaigning within 200 feet of the polling place.
And do you actually measure that out?
But at this point, I pretty much know that if I put the signs here and here, we're past that 200 feet, so nobody closer than those signs.
Okay. you got it. You have a good sense of 200 feet at this point.
Yes.
And then that counts for T-shirts, stickers, bumper
hats,
stickers, anything.
Buttons.
You can't. And can you... Can it's just related to that particular election? Can you have something that has national campaign? Can you wear, you know, a political national T-shirt into a municipal election?
You can. I mean, because it's not what you're voting on that day. I think it's not cool, personally. I think if you're going to walk into a polling place, you should follow all rules and just be you. But it's not like that we will kick you out if you have a MAGA hat on and you come to vote in the municipal election.
Okay. good to clarify. All right. Is there anything else leading up to election day? Anything in preparation that gets done?
No, this is keeping us quite busy as it is.
Fair enough.
Making sure everything's balanced.
And then you'll have the provisional election results on Tuesday night, the day of the election.
Yes.
But then you don't certify those results until a few days later.
Correct.
Why is there that deadline of October 8th? That seems like it's 1 week after, right?
It's 1 week. That's correct. It's just per code.
Okay. And then you have to pick a time within that 1 week to certify the election. Certification basically means the assembly says, yes, this seems right.
Yes, that's right. We go through every single ballot that's been cast. We have a sheet so they can see everything that's been cast as of that day. If we have any ballots to open that day, we open them, we add them, add the numbers, then we have totals, and then they vote to certify.
And do you tell assembly members if there's something that in particular they should be looking for? Like, how do they get a sense of whether or not that's an election that they should certify?
Well, I would say that if it's not being contested, then we're probably doing a pretty good job. Only because Becky and I are very on top of making sure we know what has happened with every single ballot. Mm-hmm. That's okay. The most important thing to us.
And then I want to know a little bit more about the absentee mail-in ballots that come in after the election. What's the deadline? Is it a postmark that has to be on there?
Yes. So if it is by snail mail, uh-huh. It has to be postmarked by 8 p.m. on election day.
Okay.
And if it is electronically submitted, which is via email, it must be received by us by 8 p.m. on election day.
Okay. If, for instance, you certify this election on, I'm trying to see my calendar, Friday the 4th, which I know is one of the dates that you put forward. Mm-hmm. Will all of the snail mail ballots be in by Friday the 4th?
Not necessarily,
How do you deal with that?
Well, if they don't make it, they don't get counted.
Oh, goodness.
Yes.
Okay.
You can always think about electronic voting.
Is that something you can help people, you can walk them through?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Electronic voting, the difference is that someone, being Becky or I, will see your ballot. Because the way it works is we email you a ballot. You print it, you vote it, you have a witnessing certificate that someone witnesses that yes, this is you that voted. You email it back to us. We have already, when we send you an email ballot, we have already pulled off the real ballot from the tablet of ballots, and we have it paper clipped to your application. So when we get your emailed ballot, we take it and we transfer those votes onto the real ballot. We make a photocopy of that real ballot. We staple it all together in case anyone wants to see, did we really transfer the real votes, which of course we are. And then that ballot is run through the machine or hand counted at the end, whichever way it works. But okay. That's what we call, quote unquote, electronic voting.
Okay, interesting. And then it's a real quick turnaround for folks who have won or lost the election. They, you know, within a few days are on or off that board.
Correct.
What's the reason for that?
Well, it's whenever the results are certified, that's when the change happens.
Yep. No reason to sit around and wait for a few months.
No reason whatsoever. We have work to do.
Yeah. Okay.
The agenda's light for today, but it's not always that way.
Right. Is there anything else that either of you want to add?
Early voting is happening now from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Downstairs in the municipal building. And then election day, October 1st, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the activities room of Parks and Rec.
8 a.m. until 8 p.m. Yeah. And usually you have results by about 9 p.m., right?
Yeah, hopefully not even that long. Our hope now is that it's going to be pretty quick. We just have two tabulators to close. And they give us the numbers and we'll share them with everyone.
And we do have a write-in candidate on the ballot, but even with that, at the moment, one write-in candidate, it's not going to slow it down too much.
It won't. No, okay. We're going to start counting those write-in votes during the day on election day so that when 8 o'clock comes, hopefully we might have just a few more to count and that's it.
Okay.
But yes.
All right. And as always, KFSK will have the election results as soon as I'm pretty sure you call KFSK and the pilot right away with those results, right?
Yes. Usually one of you guys are there.
Yeah, hovering.
Yes, waiting for their
impatiently. Tape. Impatiently. All right. Well, if neither of you have anything else to add, that's it.
I think that's it. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you so much for coming up.
Thanks for having us.
And up next, we are going to have Street Beat, hosted today by Alec McMurrin.